Wednesday morning on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We're glad you're along for this 26th day of January 2022. Happy birthday, Wayne Gretzky, the great one, celebrating his 61st birthday today. All right, J.R. Zimmer and Hammer with you on this Wednesday morning. And we had predicted today was going to be an extremely cold day. Hence the extreme cold warning that's in effect for today. But as you head out, I'll say, me personally, and my total time outside was I parked my car in the garage. So it was from the walk from the parking lot into the building. 20 seconds? Did not seem as cold as I expected it to be. It's still really cold, though. So here's the forecast for today. We do have an extreme cold warning. In effect, sunshine for the day today, but cold temperatures, high of minus 17. We'll have a little bit of wind chill on top of that. Tomorrow, cloudy, light snow, much warmer. More normal high for this time of year, which is around minus 7 or so. And then we've got sunshine in the forecast for Friday and a high of minus 12. Right now in Ottawa, minus 23 with a wind chill at around minus 30. So, again, that's cold, but maybe not as cold as we'd been told to expect. We say good morning and hello and happy Wednesday to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
You know what, JR? I'm alert, ready to rock and roll. Strolled down to get my coffee this morning, and the lady working in there, I was yelling at the big board, and somebody else had already gotten served, so they were open. Did not get any response back, so I went to the window and yelled again. Then I gave her the horn, and she gave me the finger.
Nice.
And then I think put a hex on me. But anyways, the other gentleman stepped up. I got my coffee. But a bit of an issue there when she put the hex on me, my window wouldn't go back up. So
again,
I had to go from Billings Bridge to downtown without the window up. So
yeah, I thought is this just a carbon copy of yesterday's story?
Well, I thought that was 2 days ago, but I forgot. I'm gonna have to do the door or a thing. But you know, the other day it finally went up. Today I had to park it. Now I had Prim came out and he gave me my spot. He said, no, I got you a spot. I'm just parking the back. He's like, no, I got your spot over there. Okay, so I'm good.
Wow.
So the window is down. And so, as I said, it's going to be a little chilly when I got in, but I was like, you know, okay, this isn't too bad. I'm thinking, just pretend I'm skating on the canal. That's what I was doing when I was driving in. I was like, just pretend you're skating and, you know, this isn't that bad. I'm dressed pretty good, but.
So is the window back up again?
No, it's not.
The window is down in the vehicle as we speak.
It is. So thankfully, I'm assuming, well, do you know if there's any record of snow coming or anything?
There is no snow in the forecast.
Okay,
sunshine today.
So we're good to go. Now, as far as animals in the market, people. I don't know if anybody will go
that
in.
That guy with the raccoon and his coat.
That's true. He could be in there having a snooze. But if it's, you don't want to snooze in a vehicle that has a window down.
Probably not.
Nope. So, so that was the morning in. And I woke right up. First thing I did, check the tennis. And I did it at about 4 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And then I just kept checking. And that was pretty interesting and hopped in. I thought, pretty cool here. I'm watching tennis at 5:30 in the morning in the middle of January. And I'm super into it. So,
yeah,
there we
absolutely.
Go.
Yeah. And we're keeping our eye on it as we speak. I did not expect that we would be starting this. If the match began, so this is Felix Auger-Aliassime, quarterfinal match. I did not expect if we were to begin the show and going to the match that Felix would be in the position to be winning.
Yeah.
But that's where we are right now. So they are right now. He won the first set 7-6. He won the second set 6-3. They're on serve in the third set. So he's serving, for his service game right now, which would tie it at 5, which means they automatically will go to 7 games. Mm-hmm. So, we'll keep our eye on that, but he is just, you watched it more than I have. I watched it. Well, he just tied it. So it's 5-5.
Yeah.
So, he looks like, and just listening to the commentators as I'm writing out my sports report there. They're just glowing about he is dominating this match.
You
can tell by the scoreboard, too.
And it just, again, this might be part of my energy, JR. I love when we praise Canadians, but I love it even more when everybody loves us. And there's a big love fest going on. Now, the other fella, he's a mopey-looking character. He looks like he's from Khabarovsk, and his first name is Yuri. So Medvedev kind of, you know, losing his salad, bad beard, no body. Those legs, I don't know, seeing bigger legs on a clock. But when you look at a guy like Felix, he's just really, he's growing, right, since we watch him, and we only watch the majors, but you just start to see where he's filling out and the confidence level he has. Boy, we've seen him go from a young man to a man overnight, and he looks absolutely outstanding out there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so he is close to winning the match. We got the audio link ready to go, so when we get to a decisive moment, in this third set. Should it come, we will take you live to Melbourne, Australia, where it is 10:15 on Wednesday night. So 6:15 in the morning here is 10:15 tonight, 16 hours ahead of us.
Yeah.
So they are deep into the final match of the day down under at the Australian Open on the men's single side, and a chance for a Canadian to get to a semifinal. We do not see that very often in the slams.
No, and is it a couple of years ago, unfortunately, in the quarterfinal, JR, he was up two sets against another Russian player. They just mentioned on the telecast and rolled back and unfortunately lost in five sets. So hopefully a little learning moment. And like I say, he just athletically looks like a completely different person than if I was to bet on him bringing this one home. I'd be very confident at this point.
He does not have, and I can't tell you about recent history, but you're absolutely right. There was a time when the story with him, and again, it's just being written now, he's 22 years old, was that he lost at crucial moments at a lot of times. Like he needed to learn how to win, lost a lot of five-set matches.
Yeah.
I think at one point maybe he had never won, I'm talking about as a pro now, a five-set match.
Okay.
Right? Well, if you can finish him off in the third set, then you don't have to worry about your record in five set matches.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So
that's a hot take early. It's
yes.
6:16.
Yes, exactly. All right. Of course, the other big thing today, it is the 12th annual Bell Let's Talk Day today. We've got lots of programming for you here on TSN 1200. I know today is a very important day for everybody, a day to get the message out and a day to raise a lot of money, too. Bell will donate 5 cents for every text, call, tweet, TikTok video using the hashtag Bell Let's Talk, any social media video view and use of the Facebook frame or Snapchat lens using hashtag Bell Let's Talk. So anytime you text today, just make sure you put that little hashtag in there, and then 5 cents will be donated. Last year, they set a record, 159 million interactions last year, and over the first 11 years, Bell Let's Talk were at 1.3 billion interactions on Bell Let's Talk Day, which has raised $121 million for mental health initiatives across Canada. That's, so it's an important day today and a huge day, and we're glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's like everybody in India sending a text all at once.
Yeah, 1.2 billion, is that the population in India?
Well, let's go with it.
Okay,
I thought, is that not, are we accurate? Am I going a little high on that one? Or is China or India over a billion, or am I a little...
Oh, they're both
China
over,
for
both
sure.
Over a billion.
Okay, so let's go with China then.
Okay.
Because the Olympics are there.
Sure.
And everybody's having to stay home right now, right? You're basically being told to go to your home and don't return until the Olympics are over. So lots of time to send text.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things we always warn you about, because there always are a few people who like to pull the shenanigans.
A little extra
this.
L here or there.
Be an extra L on Bell Let's Talk because it's all jammed together and maybe your eyesight's not quite as good. Mm-hmm. If you see the little, and what do you, is the emoji, is that the right?
Yeah, there is, yeah.
A little tag, yeah.
Little tag on there before, that's the official one, right? Yeah. So that's how you know you've got the right one. If you're going to use it today, but
and I brought in toques for you guys as well.
Oh, nice!
Yeah,
you
nice.
Did not bring in toques. That bag was there before you got here.
Well,
come
you
on
didn't
now.
See. You didn't see it, so
I did see it up.
I would have fallen for it if that was the case. Absolutely.
I'm gonna guess, just knowing from previous years, I think the toques have come from old Big Red. I think Big Red has brought the toques in because
that's right.
Big Red's mom works with
she's
Bell
a big
as well.
Shot of, she's a big shot at Bell.
So there's some fresh 22 Bell Let's Talk toques.
Are they the blue ones?
The other one,
the one he brought last year or 2 years ago, quite nice.
Were they not blue?
They're blue. And I'm guessing these are blue. Yeah. But it's a little light. Like it's not on a morning like today. Yeah. It's perfect for a cold winter morning, but not an extreme cold.
Yeah, these ones are pretty heavy duty. It's kind of got the double layer. And that is one of the cool parts about Big Red. Loves to knit in his spare time.
So that's amazing, right? What a lost art.
This guy here, he could be, if they ever do a an elf too, I can see Big Red right in there.
All right. So we got lots of guests, as we said, lined up today for Bell Let's Talk Day. Nick Paul, who just announced a new initiative with the Royal Ottawa yesterday, and just a terrific little spiel he did with the media yesterday. Just great. But anyway, he's going to guest with the boys on the drive this afternoon to talk about that and just talk about mental health. He's a big advocate of that. So Nick Paul will join the boys this afternoon during the midday show today. Mark Borowiecki, of course, who did some great work here in Ottawa and continues in his time down in Nashville. He will guest, and later on our show after 9 o'clock this morning, Michael Landsberg, of course, who has been a huge advocate in all of his time at TSN, both in radio and television. He'll join us as well after 9 o'clock. So we got lots of kind of Bell Let's Talk chatter throughout the day today as well. All right, we'll take a break. 6:20. Keeping your eye on the Felix match. He is close to closing it out. In fact, perhaps, potentially, I don't want to jinx it now, could be setting itself up for a third set tiebreaker and a chance for him to win the match. So we'll take a break. We'll come back and potentially go down for these, hopefully, winning points for Felix Auger-Aliassime, and certainly get into the Sens game last night. It was the best of times and the worst of times. Big win over Buffalo, but coming at a big price as well. We'll come back and do that and much more here. We're glad you're with us here on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back. 6:24 here on this Wednesday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Dave Poulin is our TSN Hockey Insider. Will join us coming up after 8. We mentioned Michael Landsberg will be by. It is Bell Let's Talk Day today. He'll join us after 9 and about 8:45 or so. We're going to take you overseas to Leksand, Sweden. And we're going to talk to former Ottawa Senator Max Verano, who is leading the Swedish Elite League in goals this year and yesterday was named to the taxi squad for Canada's Olympic men's hockey team. So a big feather in his cap. He's having a great year overseas. And, of course, he's an Ottawa guy as well. So we're going to catch up with Max coming up after 8:30 this morning.
And the taxi squad, I assume, goes to the Olympics, Chair?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
From what I read, yes.
Okay, yeah. No, that's awesome.
They're there if there's a COVID outbreak
or
whatever to jump right in at the last minute.
As long as you get the swag and you're there. Now, you want to play for sure. And also for Mad Max, Leksand, I was there for the World Junior years ago. Pretty cool little spot in northern Sweden. Your entry into Europe is a league like that. First of all, the Swedish league, very good. But, boy, you the leading goal scorer in that league. That opens up opportunities either to come back, go to the KHL, or even go to Switzerland where you could make yourself some serious money. So, for a Princeton grad, what a great life experience. So, good for him.
Yep. Looking forward to catching up with Max. So, he'll join us this morning at about 8:45 or so. All right, we were going to take you to the third set tiebreak at the Australian Open. Felix Auger-Aliassime, the Canadian, looking to close out the match and move on to the semifinals. And literally about a minute or so ago, it just started raining. And so they have one of those retractable roof stadiums. And they're in the process right now of closing the roof right in the middle of the third set tiebreak with Medvedev up 2-1. It's the first 1-7 in a tiebreak. So as soon as that resumes, we'll take you there. So if you're kind of wondering, hey, what's up with the tennis? They're in a slight delay now while they close the roof to the stadium.
Yeah, and I think they started around 350, JR, and they've been debating for whatever reason whether to close the roof. I don't know. They kept saying that Medvedev was the one that could decide whether the roof would close. Is that possible? One of the players decides?
I don't know that one guy would have a say and the other wouldn't. Maybe it's if either decides, then it closes. I don't know.
I just thought if you with the technology now, the Doppler 500, if you know that the
8,000.
Yeah, the 8,000. If you know the rain's coming, you got to shut her down here. Yeah. Sounds like some trickery on the Russian.
You know what?
Putin. He brought the rain.
Well, he did.
It's Putin.
Putin's
got some bomber that's just dropped a boatload of water.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly. Up way up in the sky, and it's come down as droplets.
Yeah. Do we not have better technology than a bunch of towels to dry the court, though?
For those that don't know, there's about 12 kids that all have just regular, not bath towels, but towels, and they're on their hands and knees wiping the court down while the roof is closing.
Not have a squeegee or just something, a leaf blower that can head out there?
You gotta work them, Hammer, hey?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
A little shoe shine.
That is some hard labor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, I don't know if they're going to wait 5 minutes before. It looks like it'll be a couple of minutes yet before they are able to dry off the court. So let's take it to the Sens game. Let's start with that. Ottawa's 5-0 win over Buffalo last night, a game in which they were on their heels for the first little bit of the first period. Tons of turnovers, a couple of big Matt Murray saves, and a very timely whistle as well, which negated a Buffalo goal. But then the Sens started scoring later in the first. They were up 3-0 after one, up 4-0 after two. Let's take you to late in the third period. Tyler Ennis at this point has two goals.
Up the boards to center, deflected down to the line. Ennis on the ice as DJ Smith is trying to get the veteran a chance at that third goal. Sends a shot in, scores! Ennis gets the hat trick goal!
Dean Brown, the soothsayer, right there. Yeah, it came in the, I believe, what ended up being the final minute of play. Tyler Ennis, of all people, gets his second career hat trick. The first one came with the Leafs back in the day. This one, his second, third, and fourth goals of the season. He hadn't had a goal since opening night this year. It had 30 games between goals for Tyler Ennis, but it was one of those nights where everything was just kind of going his way. He ended up with six shots on. He had six shots on Sunday in Columbus. And I noted, I think I said yesterday, right, that he had had a pretty, like, he had a noticeable game in Columbus. And last night he got rewarded with a three-goal night.
Yeah, I interviewed him and didn't seem overly excited about being a healthy scratch, but give old Smitty credit. He has come back and, yeah, played very well. You get a guy a little bit pissed off, a little motivated, and I feel like his value of the deadline's at least a first after the way he played last night.
Did you end up seeing the, I think they did an interview with him, was after the first or
that's
second?
What I meant. He wasn't too happy. Like, when they asked him, hey.
Was he happy or was he high? I was really having a hard time deciding. Yeah, it was like he had done, you know, been, I don't know, had a little bong session before he came. And I say that in a fun way.
No,
okay?
I know.
Because he's got kind of the long sort of, little back in the day, looked like, you know, maybe as a teenager he might have enjoyed a pull or two. And maybe still to this day if he's having a good day. You know what I mean? Just kind of.
Yeah.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
You're a little older now. He's got a little bit of the, you know, Michael Bolton hair. You're spreading it around a tad.
Yeah.
And it's also the long-distance camera. But, yeah, he just didn't. What did you learn from the? He just felt like saying, listen, I've been around here a long time. Whatever. Just go move on to the next question. But, hey, it's not easy at times. But it was a bit of a reset. And credit to old Smitty there. It worked.
All right. So that was the upside. And, of course, Matt Murray ends up getting his first shutout of the season. 32 saves. As I mentioned, made a bunch of saves early in the first period. Big saves when it was nothing-nothing.
Yeah.
And then in the third period, when the Sens were just kind of nursing it a little bit, they kind of broke down a few times. And he made a couple other big saves to keep the shutout intact. So he ends up getting the donut, his first of the season, third with the Sens. Yeah. And Matt Murray right now, in his last four starts, three wins and one overtime loss, and the statistics are pretty good as well.
Yeah, and just to me, JR, a sign of the last couple of nights here, the game in Calgary, he played well, but there were still a lot of things there where it's kind of like you're reacting late, you get a leg on something. I didn't have any confidence in it. Then Edmonton, kind of the same thing. Absolute night and day, and watching his how attentive he was in Washington to last night, to focus, to getting the old heels out and getting out and actually challenging. He looked like a completely different goaltender. And I'm going to theorize, and we're going to go with this because we're doing this. This is our early morning. I wonder if going to Pittsburgh, guys, provided a bit of closure. And at the same time, I just wonder if he realized I'm a two-time Stanley Cup champion, and whether people, my perception is they didn't like me because Marc-Andre Fleury left. I wonder if just going there and getting a bit of love, because small sample size, but those two starts are just that. That's the Matt Murray we saw when he won Stanley Cups in Pittsburgh. It's not just about playing well. He's aggressive. He's getting after the puck. So, hey, to me, that's a real good sign. And I just wonder, and again, we got to see a lot more, and he's got to stay healthy. He's got to stay into it. But I was really impressed in Washington, the same thing last night.
All right, hold that thought, and we'll get to what was not a great night on the flip side of things for Ottawa last night. But they have resumed down under, third set tiebreak again. Felix is up two sets, but they're in the third set tiebreak. Unfortunately, he is down 5-1 in the third set tiebreak. Again, first one to seven, so he's going to need to rally. We're going to take it to the Australian Open down in Melbourne, live tennis.
The full run, just a hack slice on that forehand, just causing the unforced error. We laughing because you saw that guy's reaction.
Yeah. Look at the guy, one of the Canadian fans, have been waving the flags all night.
Oh, God.
Head in hands.
Needless to say, he looked very stressed.
No. Poor. Tension. Can he bring it back for me? I don't think he can.
This is why I love sports, though. I mean, people get so much, so into it. I love it.
The best form of reality TV, isn't it?
What?
The best form of reality TV,
yes,
isn't it?
It is.
Here we go. Angelia Seam now at the southern end. 1-5 in the tiebreak as a phone goes off.
Thank you.
In this day and age, who has their ring on anyway? Come on. Do you, Jill?
No, I never have.
I don't either.
Because I made the mistake of having my ringer on during one of my own matches. That was bad.
Now Ozhelisim serves to the backhand of Medvedev. Back that way from Ozhelisim. Forehands both players. Good angle from Ozhelisim. Back that way by Medvedev. Ozhelisim in the middle of the court. Backhand into the net by Medvedev. A long way back for Ozhelisim. Medvedev on his own serve now. It's 5-2.
Medvedev.
Marshalling the ball, kids. He's waiting for a tennis ball to come his way. He gets three Dunlops. He's going to discard a couple here. Discards one. One in the pocket. And here he goes. Try and finish this off. Serve down the tee. Big forehand, Ozhelisim. Medvedev goes back that way. Ozhelisim, forehand volley from Medvedev. Ozhelisim, he's got to go up the line. No. Ozhelisim missed. He missed on the forehand. Four set points for Medvedev.
It's so impressive. It's such a gutsy play from Medvedev. I love it. Love that he's going forward, looking to take it, take that opportunity.
Four set points for Daniil Medvedev. The serve out wide. Big point into the net. Oh, and he's firing him up as well, Daniil. Daniil Medvedev fighting back. He takes the third set, 7-6.
All right, so the tennis carries on. Daniil Medvedev wins the third set tiebreak 7-2. So he is back in the match. Ozhelisim still up 2-1. But that was a missed opportunity to finish off this match in straight sets. And now you wonder, because we had said off the top of the show, Simmer, again, given Felix's history of maybe not being able to finish off matches, I don't know that the ghosts have parked themselves inside his head yet. It's probably a little bit early. And I'm sure he's worked with a million sports psychologists and all the positive thinking and all that other stuff. Don't let that stuff crowd your mind or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there probably reaches a point where it might. But hopefully he wins the match before.
A funny thing of that last night, JR, about quarterbacks and how you're a real good quarterback and all of a sudden you have some failures and then it all of a sudden accumulates and, you know, it takes on a life of its own, a little bit like Aaron Rodgers. You equate that into tennis and I guess you think about that with Phil Mickelson or golfers, right, where you come on, people talk about how great you are and then all of a sudden you wake up one morning like, hey, you've been on the tour for 5 years, you haven't won anything. And, yeah, it's a huge mental hurdle for any athlete and no better time to get it out of the way than as a 22-year-old.
I have to say, by the way, so that is a radio call from Radio Australia.
Very solid.
I mean, the ability to do play-by-play. Now, again, on radio, we want to be as descriptive as possible. To do it in a sport that's as fast as tennis, to be able to in any way describe where the ball is, who's hitting it, by the time the other guy is doing whatever he is with the ball, that's incredible.
Yeah. And I've never heard the term, for whatever reason, maybe in football, but I've never heard the southern part of the court. It's either left to right or right to left for me. So I think that's outstanding. And I also felt like there was some serious chemistry going on between those two announcers there.
You think he was angling for a date?
I don't know, but it seemed.
I'm not sure who she was. I'm not sure who he is or she is. She used to play.
He was laying on the humor and he was working it, but it was good. So hopefully we'll get her here. The fourth set.
5 minutes to get your hand off my knee. Yes, exactly. All right, so we'll take you back there as the match progresses. But again, they'll be into set four now. Men's quarterfinal. Canada's Felix Ozhelisim up 2-1, although Medvedev wins the third set in a tiebreaker. Okay, 6:36, back to the Sens game. So we talked about Ennis's hat trick, Murray's shutout, the Sens win. That's all of the good stuff. And then there was this.
Final minute of play in period number one. Going down in behind the net and going down hard on the play was Drake Batherson gets up slowly.
This was an interference on the goaltender. Aaron Dell came out and completely interfered with Drake. Drake lost his balance and went awkwardly into the end boards, left leg first.
All right, so that was aptly described by Dean and Gord. And as you got an eyeball, because at first, I don't know how you, when you saw it, Simmer, I was like, man, first of all, I thought, wow, that was a hard crash into the boards. I did not, and I thought, you could see that he had brushed into Dell.
Yeah.
But then on the replay, when you see the Dell actually puts his shoulder out, it's like, my goodness, what a dirty play that ends up being. Here's DJ Smith afterward on the Batherson injury.
Looks like he's going to be a lot longer. You know, unfortunately for him, kid has a chance to go to his first All-Star game. You know, it's a bad play by the goalie. He's done it before. We've seen all the replays. You know, any other player in the game that does that, you know, you have to go out there and face the music, I guess. And it's, I mean, certainly the league will look at whatever, but it's a bad play. It's ridiculous.
All right. And you could tell that DJ Smith in his comments was biting his tongue and wanted to say more that didn't. Give you a bit of history on Aaron Dell and what he's referring to right there. There was an incident earlier this season against Nashville in which, and I don't remember the Nashville player, but they're kind of meeting as they're skating toward a loose puck outside the faceoff circle right along the boards, and Dell body checks him.
Yeah.
I mean, literally body checks him. And then a couple of seasons ago, there was a somewhat similar incident to the Batherson one, a little further out from the goal line, so not as dangerous a spot on the ice. But he did it to Mark Stone. Mm-hmm. Exact same thing, where he throws his shoulder out. Now, you played goalie. You know there is a contract, an unwritten contract, correct, that if you come out of your net to play the puck, that the guy doesn't come in and body check you.
Yeah.
That's the unwritten rule, that you don't get body checked, but you also don't do what Dell ended up doing last night.
Well, it's not unwritten, JR. If you hit the goalie, you're going to go to the penalty box. I mean, it's as simple as that. And in the case of Dell, and I think that the player in Nashville was actually Duchesne, I think he has a target list against the Ottawa Senators or former players. I mean, that's what I'm going to say. But the one in Nashville was kind of funny because he had come all the way to the hash mark, where at that point, you've come out so far, it's kind of a loose puck. You'd kind of say, okay, you're kind of protect yourself. The Stone one was a dirty play, and that one yesterday was just really, really bad. And I know it's older. Here, I understand from a sense perspective the world we live in now, and at the same time, if you go and do something to him, you might get suspended and take money out of your pocket. But I'll be quite honest with you, I wouldn't have any problem if somebody dropped the gloves and just grabbed him and just threw him around. I'm not talking about going crazy, but that emotion of a young team yesterday, wouldn't that a problem? That was a really sad play, and the part of, for sure, a fella now not being able to go to the All-Star game assumption because of just a really immature and goofy play yesterday. That's just real sad for Batherson and the entire family. So, yeah, I was, a little 80s mentality there, but, yeah, I know Austin Watson gave him one little whack, but I wouldn't have had an issue if somebody came from behind and, you know, took his legs out or did something. Again, nothing crazy, but I would have taken it a step further, absolutely, last night.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're in a different place and time in the game right now. I understand the sentiment and the emotion of the moment, and for those of us old enough to kind of remember the crazier times in hockey and the bench-clearing brawls and everything, and that would have precipitated that. I'd like to think that we're in a somewhat better place in terms of just the craziness of the sport. I thought that it might, maybe not to the extent that you're advocating or talking about, but I thought something further would. And it was like, you know, a Tkachuk got in his grill like on the next shift, and Watson kind of poked at him once early in the second period. Yeah. And after that, it was really, and I don't know what they're talking about on the ice, but after that, it was pretty much over. As DJ said, if he's a player, he's got to face the music for maybe the rest of the game. When you're a goalie, it's kind of a different thing. Like, you've got to do something. If you're going to do something, as you mentioned, you have to do something crazy because you normally don't take on a goalie.
Well, yeah, exactly. Now, you saw it historically and, you know, again, but as I said, I'm not talking even, I just think symbolically, if I was Watson or Josh Brown, I would have still just dropped the gloves and just shake them around a little bit, and no big deal. Hey, guys fight after hits all the time. We don't look twice. This was an absolute dirty play where I would have had no issue. It doesn't matter what era we're in. We see a clean, absolute clean hit, and the guy has to get up and fight. Well, in this particular case, man, and even if they get suspended for a game or two, who cares? Not going to benefit Drake Batherson or the Ottawa Senators any.
All right, so there was no specific timeline on Batherson. It is a left ankle injury. That much was confirmed. And, you know, that answer from DJ that we played where he says a lot longer, it came after he talked about Dylan Gambrell being out a week. And he's kind of referred to some timelines, but it did very much seem like it's a pretty significant injury that's going to keep him out. Now, it could be anything from a broken ankle to a high ankle sprain. And I've had both. A lot of people would say if you've had a high ankle sprain, it's almost, if you're an athlete, you would actually prefer to break the bone, because it's usually 6 to 8 weeks. A high ankle sprain is something that could potentially, first of all, keeps you out for a long time. And secondly, even if you are able to come back, you're hampered by it for a significant amount of time. Yeah. So
Either way it is, it's a huge injury for Ottawa. He's been their best player this year.
Yeah. Are we just 10 days away from the All-Star game, JR?
It's next weekend.
Yeah, the 4th and the 5th, so you know, pretty much done for that. And like I said, I imagine that. Like, you're going to get your All-Star uniform, all the stuff that goes with that. The whole family had planned to go, and it really is. That's kind of, yeah, it's disappointing. So as I said, I would have liked maybe not a cross-check in the head and maybe not Dave Brown. But no, I mean, I'm being very sincere. Like, there would be nothing wrong with dropping. Nothing wrong with dropping your gloves and just grabbing a hold of them. And you don't even really have to do anything. I just thought Ottawa could have done a little better job of, you know, making the rest of the game. I mean, and nobody on Buffalo, there's nobody that even scares you. I just thought they could have done a little better job personally.
I'm not going to sit here, Nat. You know, as much as back in the day, we all loved the craziness of the bench clearing brawls. I think we're in a probably a better place right now. As much as people disagree with me.
Yeah, we're in a better place. But when a guy has a history of it, and when guys
but
have
simmer,
to fight
I mean,
after
you're talking about advocating somebody. Going up to him, dropping their gloves, and grabbing him.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, what does that do?
Oh, it sends a message.
If you're not going to hit the guy and grab his mask and start punching him in the face.
Oh, you're still going to, as a teammate, and a guy gets hurt on a dirty play like that, or I would just at least
Well, they did. Kachuk went up in his face, and he started yelling at the guy.
Yeah,
I mean, what is
anything.
The difference between that and him actually just physically dropping his gloves and saying something?
Oh, I just like it a lot more. I would have made the rest of the night a lot more difficult for the goaltender. I actually thought he'd get pulled after the first period because he'd played so badly. Oh, I would have made it a lot tougher.
I would have to think, and again, we had Don Granato on the show. You know him. I would think that probably if he had to say it, he would have said it, but I bet you Dell said to him, I want to stay in the net. I want to... The last thing I think you would want to do in his situation is to take the coward's way out and sit on the bench for the rest of the night.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't think there's any doubt that he probably wasn't even verbalized. He just said, I'm playing. I'm going out there again this
year. Yeah, it could be. I mean, I would have just pulled him out because he was, you know, he wasn't good. But, yeah, I wondered how that was. And, hey, Donnie's old school. I was involved with Donnie in the American League against him where there was many a brawl, many a thing that happened. Yeah, I just would have made the night a little more. I would have been in his grill a lot more. That, to me, is a real emotional play as they're bonding as a young team. I know the league has changed, JR, but as I said, you have clean hits all the time where guys have to drop their gloves, and it's part of the code. I would have made it a lot tougher night than a couple of very light chats around the net.
All right, so the update, Darren Dreger did confirm that it is on the radar of NHL player safety. That is not to say that at this point they have said there's going to be a hearing. But when he puts something like that out there, the expectation would be that perhaps we'll find out this morning that Arundel would be very rarely the case where an NHL goalie potentially facing discipline. The last one I could find, and I just Googled, name an NHL, tell me an NHL goalie that's been suspended. You know what name came up?
No.
Jamie McLennan, of all people.
Right. And that's the end of his career, right? He never served it?
He never served it. Yeah. 5 games for a big slash against Johan Franzen of Detroit back in 2007. Yeah. So I don't know if Jamie ended up doing a post-game hit on TSN last night or not, or if it's a topic today on his radio show in Toronto. But last goalie I could find that had a suspension, he got 5 games for that. I don't remember the incident myself. It was in a playoff game, of all things. But he was the last goalie that I could find in the NHL that's been suspended.
Yeah, and in the case of Dell, as I said, if he gets a game or two for where kind of things are at, and maybe it fires up the rivalry a little bit, but it's of no benefit to Ottawa, and it just really is. Really sad for Batherson.
Okay, and perhaps we'll find out as soon as today what an update on Batherson might be as well. But it's a significant injury, and he is going to be out for, looks like, quite a period of time. All right, we'll take a break. Your thoughts on all of that? You agree with Simmer that the Sens should have done more, or... was going out and winning on the ice more than enough message sending. Let us know what you think. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. We'll ask Dave Poulin, old school Dave Poulin of the Philadelphia Flyers. Might have a thought or two on this. He'll join us coming up after 8 o'clock in the tennis. Set 4 underway. They're tied at a game apiece again. Felix up 2-1 quarterfinals. Men's singles at the Australian Open. 6:47. We'll take a break. Come back with much more as we roll on here on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. For Simmer and most of the fan base out there that seem to want their pound of flesh from Arundel last night. By the way, when you text us today of all days, and we have a number of texts in already, please make sure you use the hashtag Bell Let's Talk. Because if you do on this Bell Let's Talk day, 5 cents
for every text, call, TikTok video, Facebook frame, everything that you share that use that hashtag #BellLet'sTalk. 5 cents is donated to mental health initiatives across the country. We'll see if we can break last year's record of 159 million interactions by midnight tonight. So make sure you include that when you do text us today at 12-1200. All right, speaking of those texts, and to Simmer's point that the Sens should have done more last night. I agree with Simmer. More should have been done to Dell. I don't care where I would be on the ice. If he stopped the puck and I'm skating full speed from my blue line and stopping, give him a snow shower every play. That's from Triple D. Let me read a few here.
Yeah, for sure.
Totally agree with Simmer. Biggest thing is sending a message to the league that the team won't tolerate stuff like that. Doing nothing means that other teams won't have a problem taking liberties going forward. Unfortunately, this is now part of the identity they're establishing. That's from one unsigned. Team bonding comes with things like this. Who comes and gets their pound of flesh? That's from Bill.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a few of them that have come in, and a lot of people that said, I'm getting soft.
Yeah, Jared, I understand it's a different era. I got a young team. One of the big concepts of DJ Smith in a bit of a junior hockey mentality is I need a tough team. I got Josh Brown in the lineup to keep him off our goalie. Hey, Josh Brown, go grab a hold of somebody. Go grab a hold of one of their skilled players. And you don't even have to do it. I'm not even talking to suspension, JR. Just grab them, throw them around a little bit. Like, why not? Like I said, I would have had way more response in a game like that. It's one of your, well, this is your all-star player. And I'll go my buddy Barry Trotz or anybody I've been around. Hey, you can't run the goaltender and you can't have a line brawl now. I understand all that stuff. But you could have had a lot more interaction. I'll lay it simply. For the mentality of the Auto Centers and DJ Smith, I'd be pissed off by the way my team reacted last night, to be honest with you.
Do you really, to the one texter's point, that the rest of the National Hockey League is now looking at the Ottawa Senators, and if there was a perceived lack of a lack of something response last night, that, oh, man, that's a soft team? Yeah. Like, come on.
No, I don't.
Who looks at the, I mean, of all the things you can accuse the Ottawa Senators of right now, being a soft team or a team that doesn't want to get physically involved, is not something that you can pin to that.
No, not at all. And you kind of go back to old school Sens teams, right? Or the Sedins, where guys got kind of pushed around and you're like, got to get rid of Hossa. We got too many Europeans. Oh, not at all, JR. I just, in a moment like that, and it did. I mean, the timing of it with the All-Star game and just how popular the fell is. And when I worked with Barry Trotz or other people, it was pretty simple. Listen, got a couple of guys in the lineup and Kevin Kaminsky or Carey Clark, and hey, their job is to make the skill players feel better. And as I said, there's lots of ways to do it. I just, a couple of brushing, and I'll give Tkachuk and Watson a full pass because they show up all the time. They drive, Brady drops the gloves, Watson does. Like, if I'm Josh Brown last night, if I'm a physical hockey player, JR, like I said, man, I just go up to Darlene or go up to somebody and just drop the gloves. And like I said, I'm not going for a suspension. I'm not cross-checking a guy in the face. Just grab him and throw him around a little bit. I think there could have been a lot better response.
Hate to admit it, writes unsigned, but I pulled Adele in a men's league game many years ago. I was expelled from the league, and rightfully so. Hashtag Bell Let's Talk. That comes from unsigned.
Well, when you in the beer league, if you hit the already top heavy guy,
oh dear,
his hitting the boards like that. And I agree, and then that, you know, for the goaltenders, and that's the part, JR. Like when you're in on the forecheck, and Drake Batherson's a big, strong guy. You lean off just a little bit where you're completely vulnerable, right? Like your whole idea is to try to slither by the goaltender without making contact. So when you go to take that shoulder there, you're in the absolute most vulnerable spot you could possibly be in.
Hammer, did you hear? I went to bed. Did you hear any of the post game on your way home? No, you didn't do the game last night.
No,
right?
I did not.
Okay. All right. Because I'm wondering, judging by all the texts that are coming in this morning, I am guessing that is reflective of probably what the post game, the sense of the post game show is. Because, I mean, well, here's another one. Boys, you can call me a knuckle dragger or whatever you want, but I'm reading this directly. I am sickened and embarrassed that nobody did anything to that coward. I'm absolutely gutted for Drake, and I can't believe nobody stood up for him. That comes
I mean that so sincerely, JR.
Are you sickened?
Well, no.
And embarrassed?
No.
Really?
No, I'm not. I'm only saying is that I understand it's a different world, but in a team that's young, coming together, have talked so much. Pierre Dorion was in with this. I tell you what, when I leave here, or if I ever leave, the one thing people say, we never get pushed around. I understand you can't run the goaltender. You probably can't even fight him. You could have done a whole lot more last night to just show, like I said, the odd tap on the leg, whatever you want to end up doing. Yeah, I like I say, that was a competitor in me, and this is kind of what I'm trying. This is what Ottawa's trying to build, and I know it's a different time, but I do feel like in this case there wasn't nearly enough of a response.
Unsigned rights goalies are protected by the league. They're not allowed to be hit, so we may hit a defenseless skater. There should be something done. After all, Austin Watson said all night to him, and he didn't do another thing. Yeah. So that's kind of a disjointed text. You could tell him the one time where he jammed him and then got sent to the ice, and he was saying something to him.
Yeah.
I can't tell because he has no teeth.
Yeah.
What he's actually, as a lip reader, it's very difficult when someone has no teeth as to what he's actually mouthing. Yeah. At least that's just me. I'm guessing probably it was going to be, I'm in your grill all night.
Yeah. What's also funny is on Buffalo, JR, and I don't know the lineup that well, but usually if you kind of whack the goalie, what used to happen, then their tough guy has to come in and now there's a big fight going. Now you whack the goalie and the guys are like, hey, you whack the goalie. It's just, you know, you've got to really initiate. You know what I mean? Like, this would have all come and next thing you know. And then the ultimate is that if somebody obviously tries to fight Dell, chances are that Matt Murray, and I don't think he's much of a fighter. So like I said, I'm not expecting it to be the old school brawls, but I just would have been.
I don't know what you're happy medium is.
Oh, there is no happy medium. It's a Tuesday night in January.
No, I know, but what are you advocating for?
Oh,
and everybody said there should have been more.
Yeah.
So not everybody even agrees with this.
Yeah.
Obviously, some people feel there should have been a full scale line brawl after all of that. If you're suggesting, and I think that what you're saying is, you don't think anybody should be running the goalie or fighting the goalie. What exactly is it that you were looking for that would have so-called sent a stronger message?
Oh, Josh Brown dropping the gloves with anybody off a face-off. You're up 5-0 against the Buffalo Sabres in the middle of January, end of January, in a meaningless game. Oh, absolutely, I would have saw a lot more response to it. I wouldn't have made it easy on all of the Buffalo skill players the rest of the night, but I'm not talking about knee on knee. I'm just talking about, a little bit more talking, a little bit more off a face-off. If I'm Josh Brown and there's a face-off in the offensive zone, I actually skate towards the goaltender. And if somebody gets in my way, I drop the gloves. I just would have been way more emotional about it.
Yeah. Seems like a lot of window dressing. Seems like a lot of talk. But those are all half measures. You're either all in or you're all out. That's my opinion. Anyway, I'm definitely will be in the minority for sure on that. All right, continue to share your thoughts. Again, when you text us, make sure you use the hashtag Bell Let's Talk today of all days on this Bell Let's Talk Day Wednesday. We'll take a break. Top of the hour news and sports update is on the way. When we come back, we're going to be able to take you down under because they are deep into set four in the men's quarterfinals. Felix up 2-1. Set four is tied at 3. So it looks like it's going to be another close one as Felix Auger tries to close out Daniil Medvedev and move on to the semifinals. So we'll come back and do that. More on the Sens, more on the Batherson injury, more on the, depending on your opinion, lack of response from the Sens when we return for Hour 2 right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.